Support for this program comes from Jazz on the Tube, the Internet's largest collection of free streamable classic jazz videos. From Miles Davis to Louis Armstrong, from Thelonious Monk to Duke Ellington, you'll find it all on jazzonthetube.com. Start your free subscription today.
Hi, and welcome to Jazz Talk, a Jazz on the Tube podcast. My name is Ken McCarthy, and this is where we talk with people who are doing important work that supports and illuminates the music we love. The writers, the scholars, the educators, the filmmakers, the producers, and more.
Today we're going to be interviewing Alexis Cole of jazzvoice.org. This is a really interesting project. My friend Jim Igo hit me to it yesterday, and I wanted to let you know about it right away. It's one of the many interesting, promising, creative things that people are doing these days. Welcome, Alexis.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's really great to have you on, and we're going to talk about jazzvoice.org in a second, because it really is interesting. It really caught my attention, and I think our listeners are going to find it very interesting, especially if they're interested in becoming better at or getting more involved in jazz vocals. But in the meantime, I'd like to talk a little bit about you. You're based in New York State, in New York, out of the New York City arena, and you're a teacher, is that right? A professor?
Yes, I teach at SUNY Purchase. We have a wonderful jazz vocal program there. It's focused on small group singing and improvisation.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's great. Purchase has got a lot of interesting art things going on at all times.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's an incredible school to be at if you're any kind of artist, because the interdisciplinary vibe is very cool there, the opportunity for collaboration.
A very good friend of mine who's a dancer came out of that program and just raves about it. And it really, her career's done very, very well.
This is the 25th anniversary of the jazz program there. And it's really, evolved over the years to be a top program.
Oh, fantastic. You know, it's so great. I remember that's a long run, because I can remember being shocked when the New School started a jazz program. I mean, those of us that had been around for a while, just the whole idea, it was great to have academic jazz programs, but it was such a unique idea to see colleges really invest in them, you know? And so 25, mm-hmm. and now a lot of universities and colleges obviously have done that. But 25 years is a long run.
Yeah. Well, and now a lot of colleges are moving towards what they're calling a commercial music program. We have a studio composition program that's sort of helping people who are, not into jazz, not into classical music, but kind of want to just be producers and, write songs and make beats and stuff. So, it's evolved even to the next level from that, which I think is good, because, maybe some people were coming into the jazz programs really wanting to do commercial music, not really wanting to do jazz. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good to offer them, an option that really meets their needs and not make them be fake jazz singers.
Absolutely.
It's fine with me if not everybody sings jazz standards if they don't like them,
Absolutely. Now, speaking about a real jazz singer, can you remember the first time you experienced a jazz singer, jazz vocalist, and said, wow, I want to be part of that?
Well, I'm in a little bit of a funny situation, because my grandmother was a singer and pianist, and she was really great. I mean, she was not a professional. She was sort of a semi-pro when she was young. Mm-hmm. And then she went on to sort of be a traditional housewife. Actually, when she was 19, she was playing in a bar in New York, and a brawl broke out, and a bottle hit her in the eye, and she lost her vision in an eye.
Oh.
So after that tragic, accident, her mother kind of forbade her from performing, and that was the end of her career. But, for the rest of her life, she always went and sang and sat in. And those days in the 80s and 90s, there were a lot of musicians who were sort of retiring in Florida or coming down to snowbirds.
Mm-hmm.
So she would take me out to hear music at her country club, and we'd go all around, you know, North Miami Beach and hear, you know, hear great people that were just down for the winter. And she would sit in with them and stuff. So I kind of grew up hearing music live, hearing, if not 100% jazz, you know, American songbook for sure.
Gotcha.
And then when I got into jazz in high school, you know, I started taking her to hear music with me. And she never really got into, like, the full-on jazz thing. She'd say, why do they have to make all those alterations? Wasn't the melody good enough the first time? You know? But it was very cool. And actually, a really neat thing happened this summer. I got to reconnect with this guy, Mo Morgan, who had a jazz club in North Miami Beach at that time that I kind of first started going to when I got into jazz. And he showed up at a summer camp I was teaching for Ronnie Ben-Hur. So it was neat to see him again and know, you know, that I had gone to his place with my grandmother and jammed there, some of my first jam session experiences. So that was really cool.
Oh, nice.
But, my real start, so I did grow up, you know, listening to my grandmother, listening to Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald and stuff. But when I was in high school, I did a musical theater program at the New World School of the Arts in Miami.
Okay.
Which was a great program. And I got great sort of singing technique lessons through that program. And acting lessons and everything. So, and dance, which didn't help me much, but, and, anyway, I was in my senior year and I was, you know, preparing to go to college for musical theater and such, which probably would have been a terrible idea since I cannot dance. But, there was an ad for a singer, for a gig in South Beach, and it was jazz standards. And I really didn't know the repertoire at that point, but, I met up with this guy. This was sort of before the internet. And he gave me all these tapes of Ella Fitzgerald and Billie Holiday, Sarah Vaughan, and he said, you know, this is the they were mixtapes because they were the repertoire that he wanted to do on his gigs, and he was looking for a singer to learn his repertoire. So, so I learned all these songs for him, and I remember saying, well, what if I don't get, you know, I'm still auditioning. What if I don't get the gig? He's like, well, then you know all these songs now. and I was like, oh yeah, okay. And through that process, you know, it became very obvious to me very quickly, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do with my voice. I love improvisation. I have a very, like, my personality sort of skews that way. I like to be excited by something happening in the moment. And, and I have a low voice and a little bit of a husky flavor to my voice. And so it was really a good fit.
And
good
fit. And you
especially seeing the direction that musical theater has taken in the last 25 years, I'm fairly glad that I got saved from that.
Yeah. And you were in college then or still in high school?
I was still in high school then, yeah. And,
wow.
And so we had this great jazz program at my high school run by J.B. Dias, who now heads the curriculum at the Hancock Institute, previously the Monk Institute. And so he brought me in to sing with the combo. And I was able to have some of my first sort of educational jazz experiences there. And he helped me get my audition together. So I auditioned for the New School and Manhattan School and the University of Miami. And I went to Miami for a few years because they gave me a good scholarship. But it wasn't really my thing because they were really into the group singing down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew that wasn't for me. I'm just, I cannot conform.
Okay.
But it's good, you know, it's good to teach that stuff for musicianship, but I just knew that was never going to be my direction. So I then I transferred to William Patterson.
Oh.
And I'll be doing a concert there next month, actually.
Oh, no kidding. Talk about the
William. Yeah, it was a great program.
Are you familiar with their program? Because I'm a bit familiar with it. I think it's a great music program they have there.
Oh, I mean, I'm an alumnus. Of course, I'm familiar. Yeah.
Oh, that's
so great. And actually, my first year there was the first year that their singing teacher now, Nancy Murano, was there. And she is actually one of our teachers on jazzvoice.org. So, she's an incredible educator and has a wonderful book about musicianship for the jazz vocalist. So I'm really excited to have her on and to be reconnecting with her. And I've been performing, you know, I've been in contact with William Patterson over the years. I've never lost touch. I've performed for some of their alumni events and fundraisers, and I've done a few concerts in their jazz room series, as well as performances. They have a Friday concert series for students. So I've done a few of those over the years as well.
Oh, okay. And for people that don't know, William Patterson is in northeastern New Jersey, not far from the city. Thinking it's near Mahwah, or what town would we say it's close to?
It's in Wayne, New Jersey.
It's in Wayne, New Jersey.
And it's not too far from Patterson. Yep.
And
suburbs outside of Patterson.
And it's just an ever-growing, ever-evolving school and ever-evolving music program. Well, great. Hey, well, maybe that's a good segue since you mentioned one of the your fellow colleagues in this project, jazzvoice.org. Let's talk about jazzvoice.org, what it is, how you came up with the idea, who's involved, what people can expect from it, what they should, who should be interested in it.
Great. Well, in March, SUNY Purchase, along with most other schools, went to online only teaching. And over the years, I've been asked to teach online, you know, Skype lesson, or, you know, from people who were my fans that wanted to take a lesson. And I always said, oh yeah, let's do that, you know. And I never did. I didn't really know how. I didn't know how it would work. I had taken one or two very unsuccessful Skype lessons from somebody, and I just thought, oh, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then we had to. And also Zoom, I think, is a good platform that might have had something to do with the increased ease of it. But anyway, so we had to teach online. I had 11 students this semester, and I taught them for the remaining 7 weeks of the semester. And I had great success, I have to say. The students who were, you know, really motivated and doing well in the studio continued to be motivated and doing well in the virtual studio, and the ones that didn't really work too hard, you know, they didn't work too hard. It was pretty much like just like real life.
Gotcha.
You know?
Gotcha.
You saw the same thing.
Gotcha.
And you know, some things weren't quite as easy, like looking at somebody's breathing, you know, not so great. Hearing the real nuance of their technique, you know, their resonance and stuff. But 90% of what I needed to hear, I heard. And what I needed to see, I saw.
Okay.
And I was able to really teach and to see people grow. So I became a total believer in the online lesson thing.
Wow.
Around the same time, I've been thinking about making an educational video series of mm-hmm. just short, like, you know, short 2 or 3 minute YouTube videos.
Yep.
So I put, you know, the great thing about this coronavirus pandemic, if you don't have coronavirus,
yep.
is that, you know, you have a lot of free time and you can be sort of led by creative whim if you're the type of person who is creative when you're not depressed about the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I made this educational video series, and somehow the confluence of those two things, my teaching online and this educational video series, I sort of had an aha moment and thought, oh my gosh, you know, I'm home teaching online. All my friends from the Jazz Education Network vocalists, you know, that teach at universities, they've all had to teach online now. So everybody's pretty much teaching online, and everybody's home because nobody's touring. So I bet a lot of people that wouldn't even have time to teach online would like to teach online right now, even if it's just for the summer or until things get back to full steam ahead, which hopefully they will. So, but I'm kind of a pessimist too. So I kind of think, well, maybe they won't, you know, I mean, a lot of clubs might close. Things might not be the same for quite a long time. So, I sat on the idea for a few days, and then I just, got right to work. And actually we were talking about my high school, New World School of the Arts. They were offering, a grant, called the Inspiration Grant. They offer every year. This was the COVID-19 edition where they were going to give the grant to somebody who was, putting something together to help the arts during COVID-19. So I thought, wow, this would be a great project for the grant. So I sort of started building the site kind of just to apply for the grant. And then I thought, well, if I get the grant, I'll hire professionals to build the site and I'll make it real. But, I wrote and submitted the grant. And then, you know, I got furtively to work, making like what I was considering to be kind of like the placeholder site.
Gotcha.
And the more I got into it, the more I realized, like, I don't need to hire professionals to make this site. Actually, like, things are so, you know, kind of accessible these days with website design. So I actually ended up I applied for this grant to make this nice site, and I ended up being able to just do it all myself. like so many things in this pandemic, I discovered that I can do plumbing, and I can, you know, make a shed and do, you know, bake a cake. I never tried baking a cake. Anyway, so this is just one of the many DIY skills that I've learned during the pandemic being alone. But, and then I started asking people, you know, Nancy Murano, my teacher, you know, people that I was close to and who I really admired their teaching. And all these people started saying yes. And now we have 22 people on the roster, including incredible, you know, really well-known singers like Tierney Sutton, Kate McGarry, Cyrilla May, Karen Allison. So it's really, and educators that you haven't heard of, but that are just as, you know, known in the education field as those performers are in, to the greater public.
Sure. And let's talk about what, so it's a portal, to use an internet technical internet term. It's a portal for, yeah, for jazz, yeah, vocal it's, educators.
It's, exactly. Right. So there's, so it's sort of like, you know, like I'm kind of like an agency for booking jazz voice lessons on,
gotcha,
the one hand. And then, you know, it's funny, jazzvoice.com was not available, which I think I would have preferred, but I felt like when I got the jazzvoice.org was available, amazingly. So I felt like, you know, I really want to live up to my .org designation and make this a place for jazz vocal education. So as I was coming up, you know, fomenting the idea, I just thought, you know, what can we offer to all these students who are stranded at home, the opportunity to go to jam sessions, to be in person learning from teachers, to be in college, you know, learning, or, and there's, I mean, there's a million semi-professional, you know, and aspiring professional adult jazz singers as well. And I thought, what can we offer them? So I put together a masterclass series that you can attend for just $15 a month. You can attend all the masterclasses for free, and started asking the different teachers and also some people who are, you know, very iconic that weren't available to do private lessons, like Johnny O'Neill and Catherine Russell and Sheila Jordan are a few people who are not teaching private lessons on the site, but did agree to do master classes. So I'm bringing this education to them. So that's a pretty, you know, even if you can't afford, if you've lost your job and you can't afford to take private lessons, which are around $100 to $125 a session, almost everybody can afford $15. And for that, you get 4 hour and 15 minute masterclasses sessions per month. So
wow,
it's a pretty good value and a great opportunity for the community to come together, you know, around what we love and keep ourselves focused on the joy of making music and the craft of, and now's a great time to be practicing too. I mean, if you come to a session and you hear something that interests you that you want to practice, a lot of people have some extra time right now.
And they also have these great guest appearances by this. You got some pretty big heavy hitters in this, in your guest list.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm doing the first masterclass this Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Which is June 20th. Yep, and that's kind of to see how it goes. You know, I've done some group sessions before, but this will be the first masterclass on jazzvoice.org. And then on the 20th, I think it's June 28th, we have Cyrilla May doing one. And then after her is, I'm not sure, Johnny O'Neill on July 9th.
Yep.
And then Karen Allison and John Prue and...
you got Jane Monheit?
I think... of course, yes. And Jane Monheit, that's the 23rd of July. So, I'm really excited. And I have people lined up in September and October too. In August, I don't want to.
Oh, great.
I don't want to pick the times until we see where most of the people are subscribing from so that we can make it at a time that they can come. We're doing the classes at different times during the day throughout the month so that people in different time zones can, you know, be there. We have already some people, you know, joining the site from Japan, especially. And we have, something I didn't mention. One other added benefit is that the site is available in different languages. So if you're looking at the site in Italy, you're going to see it in Italian. If you're looking in Japan, you see it in Japanese.
How?
And then we also offer, yeah, isn't that cool? It's magic.
How did you do that?
And human translators. You know, the site, it offers Google Translate. So I translated the site myself by clicking a button. And then I had human translators go through and fix it. So it wasn't starting from scratch, but it really is amazing. And so, and it can tell by your IP address what country you're in, and then it just shows you the site in your language. And you can switch languages up at the top. There's like a flag drop down.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that I'm excited about that. And then, but then even cooler is that we offer the services of these Singer translators on the site. So if you are not great at English, you can, you know, I mean, because it's another level of language mastery to be able to take a voice lesson in English.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of nuance and imagery and conceptual ideas that might not, you know, that are not like, I'll have what she's having for breakfast.
Yeah, right, right.
Like,
where is the bank?
Address, you know,
yeah,
it's about
right.
My command of different languages.
Right.
So anyway, so these translators are all singers. I've selected them from vocalists that I knew and some people who are former students from my teaching in Holland and my teaching in New York. So they all know the language of a jazz voice lesson and the, you know, the technical terms, and they can translate them into their language. So you book your lesson and the translator simultaneously so that everybody shows up on the same, at the same time on the same call.
Wow. Wow. So you have this mix of the,
cool,
of
right?
The, what's that?
I said it's cool, right?
Oh, it's very cool. I think it gets cooler the more you tell about it. So you sort of have two levels going on. You have the $15 a month access to the masterclass classes, 4 hours a month. Is that right? Four hours of content a
yep,
month?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Then you have these great guests.
I guess it's five because they're 75-minute classes.
Oh, okay.
5 hours of masterclasses.
5 hours of training for $15 a month. And then you've got these great guest speakers or great guest teachers. And then if somebody wants a private relationship, you help them find the right teacher for them.
Yeah, and it's actually, you know, one of the problems with booking lessons live and virtually is, you know, there's a lot of back and forth. Oh, I'd like to have a lesson with you, Alexis. Oh, that's great. When's good for you? Oh, you know, I'm pretty free. When's good for you? You know, and then, you know, if that's going on by email, a week has elapsed already,
right.
You know, before you figure out when it's good for both of you. But the wonderful thing on the site is that the teachers give me their availability in advance. And they're able to control that availability with a linked Google Calendar. And so when you go on the site, if you want to book a lesson with Surreal May, you just go onto her page and onto, you know, click book a lesson, and you see her available times, and you just click on one, and voila, you have booked a lesson. You don't need to go back and forth and ask questions. And I mean, you're welcome to ask questions. There's every person's page has a contact form.
Yes.
That you can contact that teacher if you have a question, goes right to them, or you can contact me through the site email. But generally, we've taken that step away. So it's been really a relief for my own students. I've had them all booking me through the site for a few weeks now to be like kind of a beta testing it. And it's amazing. You know, they just go on the site and press a button and the lesson is booked. And I get an email notification, and they do too, that has the Zoom link in it. And so it couldn't be easier.
Wow.
To use.
Great. And you're using Zoom?
I'm using Zoom, but I'm letting some teachers use Skype, and so I'm letting every teacher decide what they want to use.
Gotcha. It depends on.
But I'm using Zoom.
Yeah.
But they get a notice, you know, from each teacher, an invitation to the conference, whatever platform.
So you've become kind of a technical wizard in putting all this together. I mean, this is a lot of moving pieces you've got going, translating and online scheduling.
I tell you what, I impress myself every day.
Well, it's a great.
It's just having free time and being curious and wanting things to work, and not being afraid of learning new things. I think that's been the main takeaway from this: is that when you have time, you can learn new things and not be intimidated. And when I wanted to do, I bought a washing machine and I wanted to get installed, and no one was around to do it for me. And my dad said, "I think you can do it. I'll talk you through it. I think you could do it." And I learned plumbing, and it's like, wow, you know, when
awesome.
And this is the same, you know, it's the same. I also got I got the program Logic, you know, that's for recording, home recording.
Oh yeah.
I got that program. But usually I wouldn't have time to look at it enough to learn how to use it, but now I have time and I'm like, wow, now I can do home recording. That's a whole other thing. So it's really, yes, it's been great for learning how to learn this period.
Well, you know, that's something that I think a lot of musicians are actually good at, and it's one of the things people, it's one of the million reasons we should have music education in our schools and take it very seriously.
Great point.
Yeah, because I think it, you know, music's a craft, and it's a, you know, it's a very precise craft, really. I mean, there's a lot of creative, you know, latitude, obviously, in creating music. But when you actually get together with a group and you're going to perform, you know, it's very precise. And it requires a lot of skill and a lot of training and a lot of dedication and discipline and seriousness. And then there's a lot to learn, you know, learning tunes and remembering the tunes and learning new music and taking your instrument, including your voice, to higher and higher levels. I mean, it's an endless self-education process, and you're expressing that through this technical direction. And you know, what's also interesting to me about what you've done too is this is a great model for anybody who wants to teach music, or anybody who wants to help organize musicians to teach. Because not everybody's going to be in a position you are to organize and you've created a platform and a portal for other teachers and musicians to plug into, and you're focused on vocals, which makes perfect sense, but somebody else could take this idea. I mean, could, let's say somebody wanted to do something similar, could they hire you as a consultant to set up a help them set up a portal for another kind of music project? Because you've learned a lot. You've learned an awful lot, and I mean,
I mean, I guess the thing that I felt like made me uniquely, you know, able to do this project is the lifetime of connections, you know, that I've been making over my career, and also the same skill sets that I use to promote a concert, I can use to promote the site. And the same, you know, I also make a lot of my own little graphics and do little video editing. So all the little different hats that I've had to wear to promote my own career, you know, and make my own career happen, you know, are now in service of this. Plus the credibility that I have as a musician. I have 11 albums that, you know, I've been on the scene for a long time, and you know, people know me, and when I call them up, they don't blow me off. they write me back, and you know, they're interested because I'm a person that they know and respect. And I've, you know, what I feel is like the greatest achievement of my career is having the respect of my peers and the people who I respect and appreciate so much. So it's not just the technical know-how, but the sort of professional collateral that I've built up that has enabled me to make this happen. So I'm really grateful for that.
Gotcha. And the website is jazzvoice.org. And just to recap some of the features of it, you can start with a subscription at just $15 a month and get 5 hours of fresh training every month. And then we have these great master performer educators who are clocked in. They're going to be showing up at various times. Catherine Russell, Jane Monheit, just amazing. Johnny O'Neill.
Yeah.
And then, as if that weren't enough, if English is not your first language and you need some help with some of the fine points of vocalese instruction in English, you can get a translator to be part of the educational experience. I mean, it's a very well-rounded thing you're doing.
Thank you. Well, I hope, you know, there's a lot of interest in vocal jazz over the world. And, you know, I just got back from a tour of Japan, actually. And, you know, I have a lot of Japanese students who, when they come to New York, they want to take a lesson with me. I've released a few albums, you know, in Japan. So I have a good following there. And, you know, I just think that bringing the world together around this common passion is also sort of a higher calling of the site, you know, trying to create connections between people in across the world.
Well, you know, the internet's done a great thing in making all kinds of text material about jazz available, and of course now with YouTube you know, anybody from Louis Armstrong to Joe Zawinul, you know, you can see everybody, which I can still remember. I'm old enough to remember that when if you wanted to see jazz video, you had to go to the Museum of Broadcasting in New York City and go to the librarian.
Oh, wow.
And they would give you a videotape, which you would bring to a booth. And that's the first time I ever saw Lester Young and Billie Holiday. I'd never seen them. I'd seen photographs, but I'd never seen them, you know. And I'll never forget that day I walked in there and popped the tape in. I guess it was that famous CBS thing they did back in the 50s or early 60s. I guess it had to be 50s. And just transformative experience to see them, not just to hear them, but to see them. So the internet did that for us. And now this next step is connecting aspiring musicians with people that are further down the line, you know, that can help them along the way. I mean, we've always had that, but I think the current situation has created a new emphasis on that. And, you know, I would prefer that this never have had happened, so I'm not going to sing the praises of
of
silver linings, However, you know what?
Right.
This is a silver lining, right?
Well, we don't have a choice.
Yeah, we don't have a choice, right? Yeah. And
we don't have a choice about COVID. We can only choose how we respond.
Yeah, and
to the hand that we're dealt as a society.
Yeah, and this is a beautiful thing because I can see it. A lot of people who otherwise never would have had exposure, because, you know, if you're living in Japan or if you're living in Kansas or in Buenos Aires, you can get everything done. But, you know, some place that doesn't have a scene, that may not have educators at hand, how are you going to learn, you know? And, you know,
Also, I mean, Americans are uniquely poised, you know, in the world. I mean, I'm not saying anything to discount the native jazz singers of other countries, but it is a uniquely American music at that. It's mostly sung in English.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was created from the African experience in America.
Yeah.
And so in a way, even, I mean, there's a great jazz scene in Japan, no doubt about it, but there's still a desire among students to study with an American teacher for the native English sound. And also, you know, most people in America grew up hearing syncopation and swing, even if they weren't, you know, that's more true in Japan now. You walk into 7-Eleven in Japan and they have jazz playing.
Oh, really?
jazz is much more omnipresent in Japan. Yes, it really is.
That's great.
But anyway, so people are, even if people are able to access teachers and education in a scene all over the world, there's still kind of a premium on studying with American teachers. So I want to make them available without people having to break the bank and come to America. They can just study virtually. And the other piece of this is that all the teachers were suddenly teaching online because of the pandemic, but also so many other people are either taking classes online for school or, you know, remotely working from home. So people are really used to being on Zoom, you know, calls and mm-hmm. other virtual platforms in a way that they never were before too. So I think that this is sort of a really of the moment idea, but I don't think it's going to end with the pandemic. I think people are going to be excited about this, or I think it's cats out of the bag, you know?
No, this is
I know it is for me. I mean,
this is like
my family got together for, you know, for Easter on Zoom, and it was, I don't think we would ever not do that again if we couldn't be together. I think we would always Zoom in with the person who couldn't be there. It just was so satisfying to see everybody and be together in that way.
Wow, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think it's changed everything.
Yeah, you know, for some reason I'm thinking of Joey Alexander, and, you know, here's this kid in Indonesia, and because he had, thanks to his dad and his dad's record collection, but still, because he had access to the two resources, he was able to develop into a jazz musician in Indonesia. I mean, how improbable was that? So I have a feeling with jazzvoice.org and similar undertakings that people really anywhere in the world, if they have a love for the music, it doesn't matter where they live or even what their background is. Maybe nobody around them knows jazz. Maybe they don't have any jazz in their family. Maybe there's no jazz in their town. But it won't really matter because they'll have this connection, and now they can have a direct connection to a teacher. So I think it's just a great thing. So the website, again, is jazzvoice.org. Definitely check it out, and not only check it out, but tell people about it. That's the important thing. Let people know this exists so that they can tell others, because it's really a great thing you're doing, Alexis. It's at $15 a month. You know, it's really interesting. Historically, a lot of music was taught using what they called correspondence courses back in the 20s and
30s. I took piano lessons like that when I lived on a cruise ship.
Oh, did you?
With Charlie Banakas, lessons by mail. Yeah.
Okay.
I would record my lesson and send it back to him, and he would record his feedback and give me the next lesson. So on and so forth.
So it is a tried and true thing, and this instant online access has made it even more powerful. I learned something interesting. This is a guy who's not as well known as he should be, but he wrote the arrangement for In the Mood, and he was the arranger for a lot of Count Basie's early stuff that helped him break out. And his name's Eddie Durham. He's passed away. But he grew up in a little town way out in the middle of nowhere in Texas. I mean, he was a cowboy. It's an interesting guy. He was part Irish, part African American. Grew up speaking Spanish, didn't learn English till he was 14. But he and his brother, primarily his brother, learned how to arrange music. And Eddie was one of the great arrangers ever. I mean, unfortunately, we're doing everything we can to educate people about him. You wouldn't have jazz without Eddie Durham. And he and his brother learned how to arrange music from correspondence courses from the mail. Right? I mean,
amazing.
Yeah, so when somebody's got the heart for it and the desire for it, they just need a little bit of help. And it looks to me like jazzvoice.org is going to be a lot of help. So, guys, everybody check it out.
Thank you.
Definitely share it. You know jazz fans. Tell them about it. Tell them to tell their friends. This is a good thing, and we want to see it thrive.
Right. And, you know, people don't have to be jazz singers to participate in the master classes. You know, if you're just a fan of Jane Monheit and you want to see what she has to say about singing, you know, come to her master class. Same thing, you know, with Surreal and all these other teachers. So people have been like, oh, I don't know if I could sing for them. You don't have to sing for them. Most of the people in the class are just going to be watching, and they'll be able to ask any questions through the chat. But the singers are going to be pre-selected. And if people do want to apply to sing, there's an email, you know, form on the site where people can apply for singing in different people's master classes. But don't be intimidated if you're just a fan or a layperson. Jazzvoice.org is for you too, if you like to have a little bit of the inside baseball of what jazz singers are thinking about and how they talk about singing and different ideas about interpretation or improvisation. So I think it's going to be a great thing for fans too, to get a little bit of an insider understanding of what they might enjoy.
Oh, I think I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's a theme that we cover a lot, and I haven't really spoken about it recently, and I always like the opportunity to talk about it, which is that, you know, there's this artificial divide between artist and audience, and it's practical and helpful and useful. You know, somebody's got to be on stage, somebody's got to be sitting and listening. But sometimes it, especially on the audience side, it gets a little too calcified. And sometimes audience members feel like the technical, quote, technical aspects of jazz are beyond them, that they it's just, you know, in other words, they can't know anything because it's all too hard. And I'm here to tell you that that's not the case. You know, even learning one little thing could change and revolutionize your appreciation of the music. I liken it to if you know a little bit, just a little bit about cooking. You don't have to be a gourmet chef, but if you've ever tried to cook anything, it makes you a little more appreciative when you're eating somebody else's cooking, you know? And I think learning, you know, sitting in on a master class, even if you're, and your point is really well taken, even if you're not a singer, you know, and maybe you don't even aspire to be a singer, but you love jazz singing, what could be better than to be you know, in the kitchen, watching the food being made, you know, and learn a little bit about that. And I guarantee, as much as you love jazz today, if you have a little bit of knowledge like that, you're going to love it even more, because it's just more to experience in it. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah,
this could be a whole revolution in because you know, the jazz fan is a very educated fan, right? Typically, they know a lot about music.
Yeah.
But there are members of the audience that feel intimidated. And my thing is, please don't be intimidated by the technicalities of it. And you know, but it's up to us as presenters of the music, as educators, to break down that wall, to make it accessible and friendly and easy and stress-free, to get that taste and get a little bit of a sense that, oh, I could learn a few of the mechanics of the music, and then it will help me as a fan appreciate it more. And who knows, you might even find yourself inspired to become a musician. It has happened before. You never know.
Mm.
Well, great. Alexa.
Yeah, well, especially with singing, the bar is kind of is a little bit, the bar to entry is a little bit lower, because almost everybody can sing. And, you know, so I do find that singers come from a place of, you know, they might have been fans for years, but finally decided to take the mic in a open mic, or, you know, see what they can do. So it's really, vocals is a great entry point to starting in the music.
Great, great. And what a beautiful thing that would be, to provide that path for somebody. So everybody, again, jazzvoice.org. This is for everybody, not just for singers. And by the way, I imagine professional singers will be signing up for this as well, to take advantage of access.
Yes, I've already had the honor of a few wonderful singers who I admire signing up for the subscription. I mean, I think they're partly doing it to support the new endeavor too, mm-hmm. and to support me, because they're my friends and peers. But and we'll be building the site over time too. So if there's a teacher you don't see there, you know, don't feel like that they've been intentionally excluded. But we had to start with a certain number of teachers, and we're going to build onto that over time.
Great. So you really, besides this portal for teachers and the masterclass, you're really kind of creating a community of people that just love jazz singing and jazz vocals.
That's my hope.
Yeah, well, it's great.
It's making me happy every day.
That's great,
That's a great thing. If it folded tomorrow and nothing happened with it, I would say, oh, well, all this effort was worth it, because it kept me, you know, kept me out of trouble and kept me engaged in something all this time. So, and kept me from, you know, being sad about all my touring getting canceled. So it's been such a blessing to have something wonderful to focus on and feel like I'm helping other people. And building community, that's been a real blessing to me.
Well, you know, these things always start small and they snowball, but it takes a while, you know, for that, you know, every time the snowball turns, it gets a little bit bigger and then bigger and bigger and bigger. But sometimes it takes a while to get that part of it going. So I'm hoping that you'll persist with it, because this is a brilliant idea. It's needed. When people hear about it, well, look at me. I heard about it from Jim yesterday. I had to talk to you immediately about it. And so now, if all goes well, we'll have a few thousand jazz fans all over the world hearing about it. And guys, I'm counting on you to share this, because this is a good thing, and we want to share all the good things that are going on. So we've been talking with Alexis.
Thanks so much, Ken.
Oh, you're really welcome. We've been talking with Alexis Cole, who is the founder and director of jazzvoice.org. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, please share it. That's how we grow. And remember to subscribe to jazzonthetube.com, the internet's largest collection of free, streamable, classic jazz videos.